Good morning, everybody. We're going. What's your name? Daniel. We're going to. Hey, Fred Scott, do you still have your copy of the outline?
Yeah, but it's up in the dining room.
Grace showed up, so if you'd give it to her, otherwise we'll have to print one out for her.
I'll go get one.
No. Well, she can share. You can, if you remember, give it to Grace later on. Raise your hand, Grace. Okay. Okay.
All right.
Or we'll print one out later. She can't. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to ask Daniel to open us in prayer, if that's all right, Daniel. Okay.
Lord, thank you that we can all be here this week. Lord, I just pray that you would bless the Bible study we're about to have and that we would really learn from it and grow in you through it. Lord, thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to do so, to study your word. Lord, in Jesus' name.
So we've been going through, for Grace, we'll review. No, for everybody. It's always good to review. It's always good to review. So, and welcome, Grace. Sorry, I thought the Lord was good. He printed off the exact number of copies, and then we had one more. That's wonderful. Just a quick review. I better find my own outline so I know what I'm talking about. Okay. So, we looked at it on Monday. We've been going through Joseph. So we looked at Monday, life with his family before he was thrown in the pit and sold into slavery. I just think about on the way down here, you know, we could all be dysfunctional family, and sometimes it's the way as parents respond. If Shelley were to respond one way to the children, they almost expect us, like her personality, she'll respond one way. My personality, I usually respond another. But occasionally, since he's here and not paying attention, I'll pick on James. He'll do something, and I'll react wrong. And for example, I'll yell at him. I'll just, out of pure, fleshly, sinful reaction, I'll yell at him. Undeservingly so, most of the time. But you can see his countenance drop. You can see his face drop. Okay? Are any of my children? Okay? So then I have to go back and ask for forgiveness. But that's not my usual response. But I will react like that once is way too many times. And it's more than I'd like to confess. Then we looked at Joseph, life as a slave. How many years? How many years?
13.
13. And as we learned from Warren Henderson, 13, the number of rebellion. So the Lord, does it say in Scripture, Joseph had any rebellion in his heart? But it doesn't really say anything about Joseph was a sinner, right? All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. So the Lord was working on his humility, his whatever rebellion or whatever was in his life, any bitterness, any anger, anything, getting it all purified out of his life. The silver refined 7 times, okay? So now, page 3, we'll look at Joseph's life as a prince. So starting in chapter 41 of Genesis, he is finally remembered by the butler. And like in any of our life situations, we finally remember, oh yeah, Jesus, you can help me. So after Pharaoh told the dreams, verse 25, Joseph says to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. In other words, Joseph never says he can interpret the dreams. He says God can. He gives glory to God. He did that with the butler and the baker, and now he does that with Pharaoh. It's God who will tell what's going on. Okay? And not only that, after he interprets the dreams, there'll be 7 years of drought, or excuse me, 7 years of plenty and 7 years of drought. In verses 33 through 36, he says, now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years. And let them gather all the food of the good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land of 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So very quickly, that advice sounds good to Pharaoh. He says, "Can't in verse 38, can we find such one in man as this, in whom is the Spirit of God?" And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and as wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne shall I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Man, talking about ascension. Out of the pit, boom. Seated at the right hand of power. Now, I have a feeling in my life that will never, ever happen. The closest I know is, like I told you, at work, I kept getting, like I thought I was going to be out of a job, and next thing I know, I'm into a brand new position. Didn't even know what was going to happen. I think the other way we could think of it is when we're lost sinners, and we came to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that'd be the next, that'd be the experience I could think of right here. We're in the lowest of pits. We're lost. Boom. We're now a member of the, our citizenship is no longer on this earth, but in heaven. Okay. That would be the closest I could think of this. So they said, Pharaoh said, "Bow the knee." And one of the first things it says he does in verse 45, and Pharaoh, well, he changed his name. Who else in Scripture had their name changed? Yes, Joey. Is it Joey? Yeah. What is your name?
Josiah.
Josiah, yes, thank you.
Next to it. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yes. Jacob had his name changed to Israel. Yes, Josiah.
Saul
to Paul.
Abraham.
Abram to Abra. No, what did Warren say? Abra. You weren't there. Okay. Maybe that was second meet. Was that second meeting yesterday? He said it's not. It'd be Sarah with no vocal cords and Abra. So ask Warren. He'll correct. He'll get it correct. You guys, it must have been second meeting yesterday he said that. Yes. Well, I was thinking along the line of what Josiah said, though, Daniel. In Daniel, teens were taken out. Their names were changed. They were put in the schools and taught about the gods of Babylon, okay? They wanted them to forget about their past. And same thing. I don't know if this is exactly the same thing. Joseph's name is changed, but he never forgets where he came from. He never forgets from where he came. So, and neither does Daniel and
Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael.
Yes, I could think of Hananiah. And so, we're good at remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that there's Babylonian names. I like what DJ there. I tried to memorize their given names, their God-given names. So in one way, names were changed. The names we mentioned, the names were changed to try to get them to forget from who they were or who they belonged. And the others, Abraham, Paul, mentioned one other. Oh, Israel. Their names were changed to whom they belong. They went from this world to belong to God. So Sarah was mentioned. Okay. So this happened when he was 30 years old. So DJ, you're about 20, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So in 10 years, what's going to happen to you at 30 years of age? You know, where do you go? Rest of you are about what, 16 or younger? 18. So just think about that. What, oh, Rochelle, what's going to happen to you in 10 years? Besides maybe being closer to 30, or Laura. Yeah, I mean, you just think about that. So one of the things to think about, too, with his family, there was always struggles going on for Joseph throughout all this, everything we looked up to till now, you know. And I'm sure there's a lot of problems he had to deal with as a prince. And as a family life growing up, we're always going to have struggles. In fact, I was talking to somebody else today, and we've had some similar family situations happen, you know, and you can empathize with one another. And we learn about all these struggles that are always going on within family members. And it's family members. No one can hurt my wife more than what I can when I say something, when I say something wrong, when I say it in my own flesh. Okay? I can hurt my wife and I can hurt her now if I say the wrong thing. I could say the right thing and say it in the wrong way. So it all has to be done in the right spirit. So I can hurt my children, like I said. I could yell at James, his countenance just drops. You can see it. And who was in the wrong? Me. Okay? So, James, thank you for letting me pick on you. And that's not picking on that. It was actually the truth. You know, it's. So no one, you are hurt most by those who you're closest to. And so here Joseph is raised up. God has worked on him. Okay, so there's a famine. We'll skip ahead to, and then Joseph gets a wife. He's appointed leader, given a wife. And boom, lots of responsibilities, okay? So there's a famine, chapter 42, and it says all the land. I didn't check to see if all the land is all the known region at the time, just how that is termed. But it's widespread enough that it affects Jacob. He knows of food nowhere else except in Egypt. So, chapter 42, Okay, so Jacob hears there's food in Egypt, so he sends He sends his 10 sons down to Egypt. In verse 3 there, they went down. Everybody except Benjamin. So that is, Joseph's brother Benjamin. So Jacob's being, or Israel's being extra protective of his youngest son. Verse 4 says, lest some calamity befall him. So they went down to buy grain. Verse 8, Joseph recognized his brothers. This is chapter 42. And then Joseph remembered the dreams he had dreamed about them. What was his dreams? Anybody remember? Yes.
The first was that the sheaves of wheat would bow down to his sheaf. The second was that the stars, the sun, and the moon would all bow down to him, implying that his entire family would bow down to him.
That's right. That's right. Very good, Titus. Okay. He calls them spies. He deals with them harshly. You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land. He's speaking to them very harshly. He is testing them. The Lord will test our hearts. What major book of the Bible is the heart of one man tested?
Job.
Yeah. And what is Job's, when he got his love his wife. Curse God and die, right? But what's Job say? My Esther, go ahead.
Shall we not accept
Yeah, accept adversity as well as plentiful. Nakedness I came in nakedness I will leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, Joseph calls them spies. He's going to test them and see what they're like. And he said, they said, no, my Lord, we've come to buy food. We are all one man's son. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies. We are honest men. Okay? They have just set themselves up. They have to tell the truth. Verse 13, he speaks to them again harshly. Verse 13, we are 12 brothers, the son of one man in Canaan. The youngest is with our father, and the one is no more. So right there, Joseph knows they're being honest. How come they didn't recognize Joseph? He's went from 17 to 30 years old. Okay? This would be a little bit harder for you guys to imagine. Where I work, we get a lot of 14 to 16 to 18-year-olds. I've literally had a few of those people come up. And in one case where I worked up at Dayton, Iowa, I was at the post office. We went in the post office and got our mail out of the post office box where we worked. And I was in there, and I was walking out of the post office, and somebody hollers at me across the street. And he walks over. We start talking. I'm like, clueless who this guy is. He tells me his name. I recognize the name, but I did not recognize his face. And he'd worked for us for a couple years. So over time, you guys will look similar, but there will be a lot of changes over time too, some of you, okay? And very possibly they shaved Joseph's head, which is a major appearance change. You know, if he had long hair, think about, look at, yeah, very good, Josiah. Look at him. Try to picture Josiah with his shave. Try to picture Josiah with his shaved head. So, yeah. So, they're like, why didn't they recognize? Speaking into him through an interpreter. His face could have been rounder, whatever. You know, there's changes that happen. So, and, okay. Accuses them of being spies. So then he's going to keep one in prison. Verse 18, do this and live, for I fear God. If you're honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to the prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your house. You bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified, and you shall not die. And so they did. Simeon is kept in jail. Reuben's the oldest. Simeon's the second born. Why Simeon? We know Judah's the one who said, hey, sell him. You know, let's sell him. You know, Simeon could have been one of the ringleaders, or who knows really what the reason was. Maybe Simeon said, I will do it. It doesn't say in Scripture why Simeon was chosen. And Reuben, in verse 22, the compromising one said, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy, and you would not listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. You know, Reuben was trying to do the honest thing, but what he got trapped up in is, here was what my brothers did. Now, to keep myself out of trouble, I got to go along with the lie. I got to go along with the cover-up. And so, yes?
Wasn't Levi and Simeon the troublemakers?
Simeon and Levi were the ones, yes. They were the ones who, when Dinah was raped, they said, the city, you got all the men must be circumcised. And on day three, they went in and killed all the guys because they're in great pain. They can't move. They can't fight. Okay, they're just laying in bed, and they just went in and stabbed them in their beds, basically. Okay, yes, Simeon and Levi. So you could think of maybe 10 reasons why Simeon was the one chosen, but whatever reason he was, yeah, good question, Josiah. Thank you. So Joseph kept speaking through him through an interpreter. And then listen to this. And he turned himself away from this. This is when he's sending him away. And he wept. That is verse 24. Then he returned and talked to them again, and then he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. So, did he really need to bind Simeon? Probably not. But he was testing their hearts. Everything that's going to happen now with the brothers, between now and when he reveals himself to them, is a test to check their character. Have they changed? Have they repented? Okay? So, let's see. Just check my notes here. Okay. So, they return to land. Their money is put back in their bag. They get back. They open up their bags. There's their money returned to them. Now they're really nervous. What is going on here? So now they're running out of food. They need to return, but they will not return without Benjamin. And so finally, in... Turn to chapter 43, starting in verse 8 there. So Reuben, the others appealed to his father, but then Reuben says to his father, Judah, send the lad with me and we will rise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you and our little ones also. I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you, set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if we had not lingered surely by now, we would have returned the second time. Then Israel said to them, it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down the present for a man and a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh and pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand, and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sack. Perhaps it was oversight. So not only the money returned, but double again the money. Kind of goes along with in the law of Moses. If somebody steals, they were supposed to return, I believe, like fourfold, depending on what it was. Take your brother and rise and go to the man, and may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. So they went down there. They return. They come in. Joseph comes in, verse 29. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Now his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went in his chamber and he wept there. Then he washed his face and came out and restrained himself and said, serve the bread. Seeing his younger brother was just overwhelming. I'm not sure how old, I was checking, I don't know how, if anybody knows how old Joseph was when Benjamin was born. But didn't see him since he was a little guy. It's been 13 years. And seeing him growing up and... I've never been in this situation, but guys in military, you know, they come, they have a baby born while they're gone, or maybe right before they leave and come home, and now they come home to a one-year-old who's changed dramatically. They missed a year of their life. He's missed 21 years of his brother's life. That's a major change. Didn't even recognize him. How old was Benjamin? Does he even remember his older brother? Yeah. So this is quite an occasion for Joseph. Serves him. And how did he have him seated?
Oldest to youngest.
And who got served the most? How much more?
Five times.
Very good. Why? Anybody know why?
I think it was to just see how the brothers would react.
Yeah.
If they were jealous.
Yep. This is Rachel's son. This would be daddy's favorite. Okay? Went over that. Rachel was a favorite wife. Joseph was a favorite son, probably because of Rachel. And now Benjamin. So let's see the brother's attitude toward Benjamin. Are you guys ever jealous of something when a sibling gets something that you didn't get? We've had to deal with in our household an older one getting a gift or getting a privilege, and the younger ones thinking they should be able to do the same thing. So there's always those little jealousies. Or I didn't get to start doing this until I was 15 or 16, and they get to do it at 14 or 12, whatever the age. So jealousies go both ways. So as parents, we'd like to be consistent. We're supposed to treat everybody equally, but we're dealing with different personalities. And no matter what we do, somebody will probably be jealous. There was a story of a young lady who was very bitter at her parents because she came around the corner and saw, I think, a sister being spanked and didn't think the sister deserved it. And she took up offense, and she became bitter toward her parents for years. And then years later, when dealing with this, she told why she was bitter, and the sister said, I remember that situation, and I was wrong, and I deserved what I got. So sometimes it's also perspective. Okay. We can easily become jealous. We can easily become angry over that. So then, when they send them off, put the money in the bag, and then in chapter 44, verse 2, it says, also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest and his grain money. So the servant did that. They get out there. They chase him down. Hey, the silver cup is missing. They open up bags. There's Benjamin's. It's in Benjamin's bag. Another test. What were they going to do? What was he testing the brothers for this time, the 10 brothers? Anybody want to take a venture? Yes, James.
If they would give up Benjamin like they did Joseph.
Right. Very good. Very good. Will we just leave him and go on our merry way? Okay. But they all returned. They all returned. And so they come back, and Joseph threatens he's going to throw Benjamin in jail, and then Judah intercedes and says, "Oh my Lord, please." This is verse 18. Please let your servant speak a word to my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against my servant, for you are like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or brother? And we said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age who is young. His brother is dead, and he is alone, is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. And then you said to your servants, bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for he should leave his father, his mother would die. His father would die. But you said to his servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we were told the words of my Lord. And our father said, go back and buy us a little food. But we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out for me and said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one from me and calamity befalls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life. It will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant father with sorrow to the grave. For your servant became surety for the lad of my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father? Judah is the one who said, let's sell him. Probably stood right there by the pit so he could hear him. And now here he's the one who says, I will give up my life for his. Keep mine. A true repentant heart. Forgot to look this up. I looked it up at one time and I forgot to write it down. And I was looking for it. I was going to look for it this morning. Jesus said, if you guys got an iPad, you can search on this. Jesus said at one time, if you have offended your brother or have done something to your brother, leave your gift upon the altar. Yes. Matthew 5. You know where it's at? If you can read that.
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift.
Matthew 5, what?
23 and 24.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so if you have something against your brother, so here's Judah. His brother has something against him. He has finally gone to him brokenhearted. And in 1 Corinthians 11, hey John Mark, could you read this one? 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32.
Therefore, whoever eats bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But then we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, and we may not be condemned with the world.
So if you're at the... Excuse me. We can apply this to the remembrance meeting. When you're at the table and the bread and the cup, if you've offended somebody, if you've hurt somebody, you need to go to that person before you take the bread and the cup so you're not taking it in an unworthy manner. Okay? Or if you need, or if there's somebody you're holding something against, as Paul's talking about here, you need to go to that person. Okay? You know, if somebody's come to you and said, please forgive me, and you're just like, man, I can't. Then you're eating it in an unworthy manner. So if somebody's been a repentant heart, or, man, if you guys did something, repent. Confess it. So right after that, Judah's confession. He sees his brothers are not jealous about the extra food, and they return with their brother. They just don't leave him. Excuse me. I love bananas, and I think I ate too many this morning, but it caused a reaction in me, so sorry. Hopefully I don't belch out loud. And oh, I love bananas.
I'll erase that one off the recording for you.
Nah, just leave it there. Just leave it there. And yes, I eat my corn on the cob as a typewriter. So anyway. You guys even know what a typewriter is when Warren was... How many have ever typed on a typewriter?
Well, it was broken.
It was broken. I'm going to age Fred and I. Have you guys ever seen the movie Saving Private Ryan?
Yes.
In the area, all those women are typing on those old manual typewriters. Okay? That's what Fred Scott and I, did you learn on that? Yeah, we all learned on those manuals. And these things would, the keys would... And if you had two keys at the same time, most of them they'd be stuck up there. And so, anyway, but that was, when I got an electric typewriter, oh man, I just thought this is, I was just great. So, anyway, so I don't know what that has to do with anything, but. So Joseph says, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him, made himself known. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. He's weeping. When there's repentance, see if I get this. Going to do, where did I write it down at? I didn't write it down. Okay. When there's true repentance, when you get on before the Lord and say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned, the Lord gets alone with you. This is a picture of that time alone, that time of Jesus Christ extending that forgiveness to you when you have sinned. This is a picture, that time of communion with the Lord, of true repentance and cleansing. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, what's that a picture of? What's that?
Servanthood.
Servanthood, but something else. Washing us daily from our sins. All of you bathed. Talking about you've been washed, you're cleansed. But just walking along in daily life, we get tempted. Okay? Yesterday's lesson from Warren was about Achan, keeping those few things. And I think he referred to it last night. We walk along, we get tempted. We talked about Joseph and the temptations that befell him with Potiphar's wife and that. You ever think about, this is something I was thinking about here. Whatever happened to Potiphar and Potiphar's wife? All of a sudden, here's Joseph, second in command. Those guys still alive. I mean, you're talking several years now. Were they still alive? Was he still in command? Or did Mrs. Potiphar just go into hiding? Thinking she was going to get, oh man, look at this, I know this guy. He's now over me. So, you don't hear her coming and apologizing and repenting. So, in 45, okay, chapter 45, sorry, verse 5. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, so there's 2 years, so 13 and 7 and 2, that's 22 years now. Okay? The famine has been in the land, and there's still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So there's two things going on here. One is Joseph was sent to preserve them. He was sent ahead, but God had to prepare him. God said, you will be an authority. Now, whether Joseph was supposed to tell those dreams or not, I don't know. But it sure helped with his brother's evil plans. But this is perfect, what Warren was talking about. When we sin, when we do the wrong thing, God can still take that and use it for his glory. Okay? So God may have had another plan in mind, but no one... Ask my boys when they're working on a car and something doesn't go right. Well, plan B. What's plan B? I don't know. I'll let you know when we get there. So, something always goes wrong. So they go back and tell their father that Joseph is alive. You haven't seen somebody for 22 years. Probably be a little bit hard to believe, wouldn't it? So, that'd be a struggle. No. You're lying to me. What are you guys pulling on me? I don't believe this. Chapter 46, starting at verse 2. Then God spoke to Israel in the vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. I am the God. Here I am, he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear. Go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will surely bring you up there again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, their wives, in the carts what Pharaoh had sent to carry him back. So Joseph, it says Pharaoh sent him. Could have been Joseph, sent carts. He was going to make sure. Let's help moving. Let's send the moving trucks, okay? Let's get these guys moved. Then they're given the best land in Goshen. God promised Abraham the land of Canaan. Isaac's there, Jacob's there, and then he moves them out. And then they come back, how many years later? 400 years later. What happened in the land of Canaan in those 400 years? What's going on? Yes, Titus.
Essentially, it was taken over by about half a dozen different people and just split up into different sections that ruled their own places.
Right. But what's happening with the people?
Are the people of Israel?
No, the people in Canaan. Anybody know? Fallen sin and idolatry. Their lifestyles are worse. There was a senator years ago wrote an article called Defining Deviance Down. This is an unbelieving man who saw the downward spiral of our evil nation. Going down. God wasn't finished with Canaan yet. I don't know what he was doing there. Nothing's recorded. But they get more into idolatry, as Titus said. They're getting more wicked. They're starting to sacrifice children. Who knows whatever else evil is going on. There had to be a completion of how evil they could get before God's wrath was poured on them by bringing the children of Israel back and destroying them. There's a point, we could look at our own nation. There's a point in our own nation here where there's going to get a point where we get so evil. And we know in Revelation, God pours his bowls of wrath out on all the nations. So it is coming. That day is coming. Joseph was sent into a land by himself where there's much adultery and sexuality going on. He had to stand alone. Daniel and his friends were taken to Babylon, where all the others around them were saying, oh, come on, just eat of this food, eat this food. And they said, no. We sang that song, I think, the first night here, Dare to be a Daniel, Dare to stand alone. My grandma Arnson lived to be 93 years old. In one of our last visits up in her apartment, well, I don't know, we had many visits there, but one of her visits, I remember, there's a couple things I remember saying, and one of them was this, is she would be afraid to raise children in the environment which we are raising them now. And this is 20 years ago. And I look at my daughter Hannah here with their three girls, and I look at my daughter Megan and their son. I'm thinking, how much tougher it seems now to be raising a child for the Lord and not have them wander away from all the distractions, all the sin going on. Okay? And it's just very much deviance going down. It's going to get worse and worse and worse because the bowls of wrath will someday be poured out. How are you going to stand alone? How are you, if you get married and have children, raise up children under the Lord? Whatever that book, Warren, whatever the title of his book that was mentioned the other night, Raising Vines to the Lord. Start reading them now. Get in this book, the Bible, every day, okay? I tell my children, you're young. Learn it now. Memorize this now while your brain isn't as full, okay? Learn it, okay? Because if Canaan is example to what's going to happen in this world, the day of reckoning is coming. Okay. Okay, just a few more minutes here. So they deal with their famine, and then Jacob requests to be buried in the land, which he came. But before he dies, he gives each of the 12 sons a blessing, and includes, and earlier he blesses the sons of Joseph. The older shall be serve the younger. But I like to look at verse 8 of chapter 49. Judah, who repented. Judah, you are whom your brother shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine and donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of the grapes. And his eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk. Christ came through Judah, through Tamar. Okay? And I believe Judah truly repenting, having a truly repentant heart, was a big deal about that. Joshua and Caleb, 12 spies, two were good, 10 were bad, right? Caleb or Joshua came from the tribe of Judah? I think it was Caleb. Okay? I think that's huge. I think what Judah's repentance right here was big. And was a heart change for the Lord. His children saw it, and it came for generations. The children, God will bless the righteous man to 1,000 generations. If you multiply that out, that becomes longer than what the world has existed. So, Jacob dies. The brothers come to, in chapter 50 there, they come one more time. They need some reassurance. We'll just start at verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us all the evil for which we did to him." And he already said, "I forgave him. What you meant for harm, the Lord meant for good," right? "Sent messengers to Joseph, saying, 'Before your father died, he commanded, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him." He wept because he had already said once. He could see him right again, maybe truly repentant hearts. "And then his brothers also went and fell down before his face and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' And Joseph said to them," so you got to remember, Joseph is second in command, and once Jacob is dead, he could just say, okay, brothers, boom, off with your heads. "But Joseph said, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God?'" You know, David would not kill Saul. David would not kill God's anointed, right? "But as for what you meant for evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about to this day, to save my people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you, your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. And then Joseph, knowing the end from the beginning now, seeing what God's plan is, knowing, remembering the promises made to Abraham, "You will wander for 400 years and be brought back," said, "Carry my bones out." It didn't matter where his bones are buried. What he was saying to the future generations is, God will fulfill this. So when you see my bones carried out, whether if you watch the movie The Ten Commandments, you'll see them carrying a wooden casket out. I don't know if that was accurate or not, okay? A little bit of a kind of a cowboy western type look to it, but however they knew, his bones are being carried out. Read in Joshua, they mentioned in Exodus 13:19, it says Moses carried his bones out, or made sure his bones were carried out. And in Joshua 24:32, it says they buried, wherever he was buried became the land that Ephraim owned, okay? Joshua 24:32. You can add that to your Exodus 13:19. So when you are wronged, there is required patience. And it could take years before somebody repents. And it may never happen, okay? It may not happen in your lifetime on this earth, okay? And it may. And when you wrong somebody, repent and go to that person, okay? Restore. It does wonderful things for relationships. Okay? A relationship can be even better after you repent. Okay? When you've wronged somebody. Don't be afraid of it. In Hebrews 10:30, and just know this, if somebody will not repent, just know this. In Hebrews 10:30 it says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay,' says the Lord." And again, the Lord will judge his people. Verse 31, "It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God." So, one more thing I wanted to add is when they came back and asked for his brother's forgiveness one more time, how many times does Jesus say to forgive somebody? 70 times 70. I believe it's Matthew 18:21 and 22. Peter says, "If my brother asks for forgive me, how many times shall I forgive him? seven times, which is the law. But Jesus says, I say to you not seven times, but 70 times seven. Okay? So don't check off 490 times and stop. That's an infinite number. Last thing. Okay, now tomorrow's an open forum. So day four, life in comparison to Christ. So I know you will all busily this afternoon study that list and want to come discussing things. Or it'll be you get in here tomorrow morning and you start looking over the list like, oh, what do we want to discuss? Okay? I will not have anything prepared, any discussion. I might look over a couple of them, but if there's anything you guys want to talk about, look up. It'd be more about just an open discussion. One last thing. Something you might have heard, life is a tapestry. And I got this tapestry thing. And sometimes when you're in the middle of something, all you see is the backside of a tapestry. And it looks like, well, colorful but messy. This was given to some friends that went over to Turkey. On the bottom it says Ephesus, and I suppose that's like their flag. If you look at it, there's a nice floral pattern. So when you see the end, when you see the front, you see a pattern. If you ever guys get a look at a better tapestry than this, then do, okay? Often we only see the back. We don't know what we see, okay? But God is doing this in our life. He's completing something that we often can't tell. So, Jeremy, close us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, thank you that Emery can come up here and teach us and help us to learn more throughout the week. Please put a hedge of protection around the camp. There will be no injuries the rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn this off.
Oh, no, just